Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Oh.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
And welcome to another Monday Night Master Debaters. Tonight, we have another great quorum of men here to discuss. Again, I got to really get... Ryan, we got to get some women on this show, man. It's a sausage fest every week. I am the worst at this. And I have
a
list
of ladies. I'll see. Yeah, I don't have too many lady followers.
I got to step my invite game up because this is poor. But not to discredit my guests at all, because two of my favorite people out there, Mr. Lehman Dollins of Lehman Dollins Art on Instagram. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Hey, thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate it. And I think you're the first author on the podcast. So that's another notch in your belt. Mr. Kyle from Conspiracy in the Force.
Well, hey, thank you. I appreciate the invite. And you know, if it makes it better, I could identify as a woman for the show if you want, if that helps.
It would. Please
just trying to do what I can. Okay.
Dude, we were just talking about that. And Ryan, I forgot to introduce you. You're an assumption now.
Yeah, they know
he's a staple of the show.
So Ryan and I were kind of talking about that beforehand, about how, you know, I'm in corporate America and I left a big company for another company. And it was like, part of it is I just can't deal with this SJW stuff, you know, because originally, you know, dealing in the corporate world, you have to deal with their, you know, the quote unquote corporate etiquette, right? Which is, you know, it's so fake and, you know, so just, I don't know, these people, a lot of these people are NPCs because their whole life revolves around that place. But you know, when they started asking me to put a pronoun in my profile, I was like, no, I'm not playing your games, and I'm not recognizing anyone else, you know, that wants to be called something else. I mean, I'm not going out of my way. Now, if they wear a name tag, sure, I'll say, hey, whatever you want to be called, purple unicorn, I'm fine with that. I don't care. But don't force it on us. And it's funny how things have changed. And, you know, like you said, Kyle, tomorrow you could wake up and just decide you want to be a woman. And that's how everyone has to adjust to that.
And it's one thing, you know, you see a lot of, you know, the younger generation really latching onto that. But like, to your point, I've seen a lot of people that I've worked with for 5, 10, 15 years, you know, they're in their 40s, 50s, and they got it in their email signature now. I'm like, okay, for one, your name is Karen. Okay. So I already know what you are, right? You don't have to give us any other identifiers, but also it's just like, come on.
You know what's funny, dude? We remember when, I think it was a talk at the tavern that we all did, and Matt, you were there when that dude Shannon, he introduced himself as Shannon, right? And we kind of chuckled at that. That's that dude's fucking name. Yeah. I mean, like, it legitimately is. I thought he was disguising it. He's a buddy of mine now. We're actually working on a PSYOP two-part series together. And like, I was like, dude, is that actually your name? And I felt really bad because, like, now there's like this like adverse reaction to people saying like, oh yeah, my name's Sheila or whatever, you know what I mean? And dude, I was like, dude, I am so sorry. And he's like, no man, like, I get that all the time because, you know, that's my actual name.
Well, yeah,
I knew him as Bruce because he always goes by fake names on other things, and so I thought he was just clowning, said his name was Shannon.
Yeah, one of my best friends growing up, a kid I played soccer with, was named Stacy. It was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he dealt with that stuff all the time, but he was like, it's like, it doesn't bother me. It's
yeah, I'm kind of pissed. Like, all of a sudden, like, Kyle is also a female name. Have you guys been seeing that? Like, Kyle is now I don't know, some TV shows and stuff that my wife watches. So with again, to your NPC's point, maybe that's what it is, but there are some celebrity females named Kyle, and it's really, it's starting to bother me a little bit.
It's weird, dude. I mean, my sister's name is Kyla, but yeah, no, I've never heard
Kyle. The Kyla, there's the Kylie, right? So it's like, you know, whenever somebody's making fun of me earlier in life, you get the, oh, Kylie, haha, it's really funny. But, you know, it's still funny. I didn't cry, guys, seriously. It's fine.
I used to work in corporate America as well, Matt. They come at me with the pronoun. And I found out real quick that motherfucker wasn't on the list.
He and Haw, dude. He and Haw. Those are the pronouns.
That's the funny thing. Like Kyle said, though, it's these older people that don't even know what it's about that are just doing it because it's the trend. And what I find funny is, you know, back in the 90s and or 80s and 90s, the whole thing was not to put people in boxes, right? Yeah. Like the gays didn't want to be labeled and put in a box, you know, certain groups. And now everybody wants to be not only in a box, they want to be in a small corner of that box with, you know, a flag waving that shows which corner they're in. And it's, woof.
It's wild. Take a Venn diagram and then make multiple Venn diagrams, and people want to be in as many of those Venn diagrams as they can. You know how Venn diagrams, they overlap, and it's like, yes, I am a male and this person's a female, but we're both gay. So that's one spot that we can both fit in. And then we both are gender fluid. So that's a separate diagram that I'm also in. Dude, I watched this really good documentary series, and I've been sick over the last couple of days, so I've been just kind of chilling. And it's called Explained. I don't know if you guys have seen these. Explained. Have you seen that?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
So I watched one on political correctness, and it's really unbiased. I think they have them on Netflix. They have them on Amazon Prime. But check it out. And it's one on political correctness. And I was expecting it to be super, super lefty. And it was pretty down the middle, dude. But like they sit there and like the people from the left, they just want you to call them what they want to be called, right? I see it as a problem. I see it as a mental disorder, and I see it as a snowball effect. They just don't see it that way, though. So to those people, what would you say?
Yeah, because it's a power play, Ryan. You know, when it comes down to it, it's a power play on their part. And, you know, not everyone wants to play that game. And you can never
align with it enough.
No,
right? Like you can even the people that are on board with it, right? Then you accidentally slip up and call a he, a she, or vice versa. Now you're ostracized. I mean, you could have done 99 out of 100 things correct. You could have had the flag in your bio. You could have had the black square back in 20. You could have done all the things, but yeah. You slip up one time and you're just as bad as somebody like us who doesn't want to play ball at all. So to your point, Ryan, about the, you know, mental issues, like there are a lot of mental issues and depression and suicide and stuff because they're trying to adhere to these really, really strict cultural norms now. And a lot of times it's very difficult for them from many ways. So it's like, you know, I always go with the whole, you know, mantra from that War Games thing. It's like, you know, just the best way to win is not to play, because once you do, either you're going to play too hard and get stressed out, or you're not going to play correctly. You're still going to get stressed out. Might as well just sit on the sidelines and just do your own thing.
Well, yeah. And I think Matt kind of alluded to it. Were you going to say something, Lehman?
No, I do not fuck with those people whatsoever. Yeah. I don't give them an inch.
Well, for sure. And I'm the same way, but you know how I like, you know, I try to really entertain the idea where like I'm wrong. Right. And we're wrong. I always try and entertain that anytime I'm looking at shit. And when you hear someone that seems pretty level-headed, I encourage you guys to watch this Explained series. It's really cool. But when you have someone level-headed and someone that's fairly successful, they don't seem ultra-liberal. And they're sitting there saying like, hey, if someone wants to be called a certain thing, it's not hurting you. It's not hurting them. You don't have to refer to this entire group as a certain way. Just this person wants to be referred to in this certain way. It's tough to argue with. That's the only thing I would say. It's tough to be like, fuck that shit. You know what I mean? Cause it's kind of like, it's like, okay, they're not taking anything from you. They're not saying, hey, call all kids that are men, girls, or anything like that. So it's a tough thing, dude. And I think that whoever created this entire schism really knew that it was going to be difficult for logical people that aren't just like trigger happy on like right or left. It's going to be really tough for people to be like, you know what? Fuck that. You know what I mean? Now, this group here and people that listen, we go against everything that the media tries to push. So it's very easy for us to do. But I just hate living in an echo chamber, even if it's something that I'm totally like rah, rah for. I try to challenge that.
Come live in Massachusetts, Ryan.
Hey, I don't doubt it.
It is challenging as can be up here, especially now, because it switched. You know, the baton was passed really fast from one side up to the next, and I can't keep up with it. You know, between I mean, I laugh because there's a car in my parking lot. I'm in a college town also out here, which makes it even worse. And she's got, you know, Free Palestine, Down with the Establishment, Black Lives Matter, Save the Planet, Climate Change Kills, all this painted all around her car. And I'm like, which one is it? Because all of those can't be, because if that's the case, we are done. I mean, civilization's just over, but it's not. It's only a couple of those. But how many of those are real? How many of those are media creations? And that's one of the things I'm starting to realize in some of the, you know, the research that I'm doing on old stuff. You know, I'm talking early 20th century, 19th century stuff, is the propaganda is unbelievable. And that's what you end up with for history. And it ends up being a story. And that's what we're dealing with right now, is just constant bombardment with stories. Now, how many of them are based in fact? Very little, because you notice it changes daily. The narrative is bouncing around from, you know, one disaster to another, even within the same conflict. You're getting all these different arenas so that you can't focus on one and have a chance to focus on it, look into it, pull back the curtain and realize, okay, it is what it is.
Now, Matt, let me ask you this, like through all your, like, you know, research on history and all this stuff that's happened, you know, many, many years and centuries ago, do you feel the propaganda was just as bad as it is now? Because you hear a lot of people saying like, oh my gosh, it's never been this bad before. But also a lot of people, you know, don't know history and don't study history. And as you know, and as we all know, a lot of these things are kind of cyclical in nature. So would you say the propaganda has always been this bad? Or do you feel like what's going on now is just kind of a entirely different level just because of maybe the physical medium of it?
I think the abundance of it now is obviously more than it's ever been, because everybody has it in their hand all the time. But I think that's part of what you get with the controllers. Whoever's trying to retain power, they are going to give you a narrative to support their legitimacy and to back whatever, I don't know if you want to say agenda or whatever they're pushing. And that's what you find. I mean, I just did an episode that I released yesterday on how they erased Great Tartary from history, basically, in Russia. And before that, I did one on how supposedly, if you looked in the newspapers from late 1800s through the early 1900s up to like 1919, there was a Holocaust in Russia. We never heard about that, you know, and so, but then you start looking into it, the numbers don't match. It was all a smokescreen. So what you see is this pattern of these repeated efforts to just mislead the public, and just constant deception. And I can't, you know, I can't put my finger on it as to, oh, is it one, you know, who are they that are doing it? I mean, this is, it's across the board. It seems to be whoever is in control at the time. And it's kind of like goes with that Napoleon quote, you know, about writing history. And history is, you know, it's basically an accepted and agreed upon story, and usually written by the victors.
This weekend, my wife and I took the metro over to D.C. and we were at the Jefferson Memorial. And even she said that the scale is off of that building. I walked away from there believing that the character that they have in there in the statue, Thomas Jefferson, he might have, I mean, he might have actually been from Tartaria for all I fucking know. Because the scale of that building is just so amazing compared to all the stuff that we build now.
Now, which building is that, Lehman?
Jefferson's Memorial.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the tidal basin. It's set us off to itself. And it's unreal.
Well, they say the same about Lincoln Memorial, right? I've heard stories that the Lincoln Memorial has been there before DC was even built, and that what they did is kind of what they've done on some of the like Egyptian copies, is just put a new statue in there.
Right.
Or and a new then, head.
And then Ryan, you've been mentioning Mary Shelley and her husband lately. I think that was one of the more subtle forms of psyops back in the day, you know, literature.
Dude, I didn't know about that at all until Ron Weed brought that up from Imaginarium of Thought. It's a really interesting little thing how this dude faked his death. You know what I mean? And what's his name? Percy Shelley.
Yeah.
He might have faked his death in a satanic looking little funeral. They burnt his effigy on the beach, right? And then they might have just dipped out. So it's interesting. But yeah, to you know, Kyle's question to Matt there, you know, I think that the reason that propaganda seems so intense right now, and again, I'm looking into PSYOPs big. There's a 250-page military document that I'm going through, kind of the same way you and I did with that NASA document that you showed me, Matt. Going through how PSYOPs work. There's seven phases to a PSYOP, and it's fucking deep. It's so crazy how PSYOPs work. And I think that the reason why PSYOPs or propaganda, I should say, is so prevalent today, and it just seems like one after another, is because we live in a globalized world right now. I mean, like back in the day, things were very localized. You didn't really get news from the other side of the world. It was all in your area. And sure, there was propaganda pushed, but it wasn't, you weren't able to get news from Ukraine on Instagram, right? I mean, it's an interesting little thing.
COVID. No, but Ryan, we were given propaganda in different ways. Because I mean, and I put it up on Instagram today as kind of a joke, but in RT News today, they were talking about how, you know, Russian propaganda has been long in the United States. And you go back to like the Rocky movie, right? Rocky IV, where he fights Drago. That's a total Russian hit piece, right? Because the Russian guy is all steroided up. He's on doing everything to cheat. You know, he's this big red, you know, giant monster of a man, whereas the Americans, this short little expected, and you know, he has no real modern technology to train with. You know, he's hauling logs and all this, splitting wood and all this shit, and it was total propaganda against the Russians, and that was just, you know, one of many examples in the 80s as a kid. I mean, growing up, it was always, oh, the Russians are bad.
Red, you know, Dawn.
I was around when they, you know, they had the hockey game of the Americans against the Russians. And I mean, Christ, for like a year, they were riding around on that cloud, and you'd be hearing people, yeah, we beat the commies. And it's like, what? It was a hockey game, but it was like, we had won a war. And, you know, so it's one of those where they've been doing it forever. And it like Lehman mentioned, I think literature prior to television, obviously, was a big one where, and a lot of our history, if you think about it, is just giant propaganda. A lot of the books out there are just bullshit that are intentionally meant to deceive us or tell a little bit of truth, but make it seem fantastical so it's not believable.
Dude, I have a little pin from the 80s, like a pin that you put in like a piece of clothing or a hat or whatever. And it says, beat the Pushins, like the pussy Russians. It's Uncle Sam. It's Uncle Sam kicking a bear in the ass. It's crazy. And I found this at a thrift store, dude. 50 cents. I scooped one of those up a while ago, but dude, it's crazy, man. Yeah. It's interesting. And with Red Dawn, the original bad guy was supposed to be China, but Hollywood said, no, we can't do that. We'll do Russia.
Yeah.
And they always make America seem like the underdog, right? Like they're the good guy. And you see that in all kinds of movies where like, even Star Wars, like there's a rebellion, right? They're fighting against the power, and they always end up winning in the end, right? But like, how often does that really transpire in our world, where like a rebellion topples an empire, and then treats that new power with noble respect and grace, right? You know, like that's always the mindset we get, the psyop we get in the movies of, hey, anybody can accomplish that. Anybody can overthrow anything. You just got to give it a little oomph. If you're Rocky, you just got to train a little bit and just take a few more punches. And just as long as you got that American pride, like you can accomplish anything. You know, it's kind of silly when you look back at it now.
Well, isn't that the thing with Star Wars and all? Like, I mean, you name a movie, dude, everyone loves the underdog. Like, that's the whole thing, is that the underdog is supposed to be the one that rises up and wins. But that, I mean, yeah, like you said.
Well, I mean, in Star Wars, they were basically, the rebels are basically terrorists. I mean, they committed like a terrorist act, right? On the, you know, like,
Depending on what side you're on.
Yeah, I love the meme where it says, like, you know, farm boy radicalized by ancient cult to destroy the government. I mean, that's, if you look at it from that angle, that's what it is. It's kind of hilarious.
Well, and that's funny you mentioned that, because if you look back at the Civil War or any of the battles that American troops had with natives, if the natives won, it was always labeled as a massacre. If the Americans won, it was always labeled as a battle. And I just started noticing that as I was looking deeper into the Civil War and wars like that. And it's in Ryan's terms, fascinating, because they keep using this word. It's word magic over and over to try and sway emotion. It's the same thing that they do today on the news, right? They use certain words, certain images to evoke an emotion out of you, whether it's related to the subject or not. Because if they just get that instant, you know, thought in your head, that's all they need. That's it. They've got it in there, and that picture is now ingrained in your mind. And man, they do it with words. They do it with pictures. I think it's a system that was set up to keep us down, period.
Right.
And it's really hard to get through to people that have grown up their whole lives, like trusting the newspaper, right? Like my mother-in-law, she's almost 80 years old, and she's been reading the newspaper her whole life. And, you know, everything that she spits out is just, you know, what you would expect, right? It all comes from the Associated Press or whatever the thing is. But, you know, you can't tell, it's hard to tell somebody like that there's another side of things going on, because they'll give you that classic, well, why would they lie to you? And, you know, it's, This is the truth. We need to do this. We need to wear 3 masks today. You know, it's just very, very difficult to talk to people that have dealt with that their whole life. And maybe at a certain point, I don't know if the news was a little more truthful than it is now, but, you know, Matt, probably the more you look into it, it's probably not even the case, but it's just really hard to get through to a certain generation about how there's a lot of things going on that they don't really understand, because they're only seeing one side of it.
Yeah, so there's this guy named Lex Luthor. Yes. Any of you guys see his Twitter?
Yeah, Les Luthor.
Yeah, Les Luthor, yeah. So have you seen the video where it shows his plane ticket and him landing in Poland and traveling across Poland into Ukraine? And how he's there for several days as there's not shit happening. Like, there's sounds, but there's not anything actually happening. And I have a friend that lives in southern Ukraine, and he said multiple times, there is not shit happening. Like, they hear a lot of things, but they've never actually come across a building in the main part of town that's been bombed or anything like that. So, I mean, I don't believe a fucking word to say.
Well, it's crazy, because remember when it first started? I mean, there was a flurry of videos that were all, you know, quickly debunked for one reason or another. And I don't know about you guys, but I haven't seen anything other than just still images over the past few weeks. I haven't seen any, you know, in any other conflict throughout the world, you've seen some kind of action of something happening. I haven't seen a lick of any action, and not that I really want to. I'm not like trying to be like a warmonger, but you know what I mean? Like you normally see some moving footage of actual real events happening, you know, even if it's something like the Iraq war, which is what was garbage as well. But like you saw things going on, like it's to your point, it's all garbage.
Well, and a lot of the reason why you're not seeing any footage, and I'm watching, I highly recommend anyone that is interested in this, go watch Ryan Christian at The Last American Vagabond. Before this podcast, I listened to 3 hours of him going over this. And one of the things that he's showing, and he's showing videos from the ground. Now, again, what can you believe? None of it. Right. You can't believe any of it because it could be propaganda from either side. But what you're seeing, and he's a lot, very Twitter based, but he also uses multiple news sources. And what he's showing is that basically what it is the Ukrainian, the Azovs, right, the Nazis, who are literal Nazis. They are descendants of the German Nazis. Okay, these people are no joke. This is legit. And that's what Russia is fighting. They're in there to supposedly fight the Nazis. And they want, and what they've done now is they've holed up in Mariupol. Well, most people tried to escape. Well, a lot of the times, and there's people talking about it that did escape, they were shot at by Ukrainian troops. You're not going to see that on the news. They're not going to show you that on the news. There are multiple videos of that. There are multiple videos of these Ukrainian folks saying that these scum that take food from the Russians should die and they'll be dealt with later. It's not what we're being told on the news, guys. I mean, there's videos of these people swearing against, and again, it could be all propaganda, right? It could be all Russian propaganda, but it's these people that are saying that these people are shooting. They made us sit in our basements, not because we were scared of the Russians, because if we tried to leave, we were going to be shot at. They would drive by our house and shoot at our house just as warning signs. They said when we're waiting in line for bread, they would come in into the lines, you know, drunk and just start harassing us, knocking people over, causing a scene and making us chant like, you know, the great empire has arrived or some stupid words. So, well,
you know, Matt, looking into PSYOPs like briefly for like the last couple of days, dude, I will say that, you know, I don't feel like the Russians or Putin are fighting Nazis or the Azovs, right? I think that this is a big PSYOP, dude. And in one more than one way, because you have half the country that has been pumped full of fear of the Russians since, I mean, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump in 2016, right? That side that wants Russia just gone, you don't need to do any work on them. If Putin does anything, it's wrong. Now, how do you kind of get the other side to not agree that Putin invading a much smaller country is bad? You show proof that there's Nazis there, right? You show the black sun on their little crest and you show all the weird shit. Now, I'm not saying that they're not there, but it's like, dude, who cares either way? You know what I mean? Like it's just a perfectly divided way to look at this whole thing. You get the people that support Trump more so, or they support freedom. And they hate the United States government. And they're probably really realistically, they're siding with Putin right now. You know what I mean? Which is crazy. But it's also really crazy to side with Ukraine, dude, because like half the people in this country can't even point to Ukraine on a map, dude. Nope. And they're still sitting there saying, you know, we need to stick up for this little country.
But Ryan, the problem is that the Azovs are bombing Donbass, right? And they're shelling, and one of the videos that he even showed, that they're writing on the bombs, like, again, it could be a PSYOP, you know, for the kids, this is all for the kids, and they're sending them at the schools. Like, I mean, and this is in the news on both sides, right? This is legitimate stories where this is supposedly happening, that these, and so I don't know. I think something's happening over there, but like you said, this is a huge PSYOP and it's a bigger push for something else.
Well, yeah, so, and it's a PSYOP on two levels. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lehman.
No, I was going to point to your post earlier that if that's true, that they have rolled out the social credit score and all that, and they're the first Western domino to fall, then what does that look like 5 years from now?
Yeah, well, you know, the guy that pointed it out is a socialist, hardcore socialist, you know what I mean? His site is wild. His site is fucking crazy. So, and who knows if it's even true? You know, there's that site Dia, but I mean, dude, they don't even have any way that you can translate it to English that I found. And as I mentioned in my rant, it's all white people on the Ukrainian website. It's not very diverse. So I had a problem with that. But, you know, it's crazy, dude. You know, it's so hard to actually know what the real fucking deal is, dude. And I don't consider myself dumb. You know, I kind of play it off like I fuck around and I goof off. But I mean, if I'm going to like actually say something, I'll make it clear that I don't know what's going on, or I'll like kind of make an opinion on that. I've kind of learned over the like 2 years that I've been podcasting, while things are unfolding, don't plant your flag in the ground and be like, I am on this side. You know what I mean? Cause even if you're right, what the fuck are you getting out of it? You know what I mean? Yeah, man. The social credit score stuff's scary. It's very scary, but we don't know, dude. We don't know what's going on. But yeah, that guy's website, dude. I don't know if you guys checked that site out.
And that's a scary thought, man. Just this whole idea of the social credit score, because after what you saw in Canada, how they can just shut down your bank account. Now think about if they have all your information in one little area, how easy it is to flip that switch off and say, well, you can't participate for 10 days. Now, what do you do?
Dude, I've said it before, I think on here, Matt, watch the episode, and I'll even find out which episode it is of Black Mirror. Watch the episode with the redhead and when she's getting screwed over by the social credit score. I'll make sure that I find that episode and exactly which one it is. I think it's called like Nosedive, possibly.
Oh, yeah. The Black Mirror episode. Yeah.
And they
got that. They got that running meter, and hers just keeps going down and down and down until she can't, like, she can't get transportation. She can't go to parties. Like, as soon as people see her, they just like recoil in fear. Yeah. It's a really, really well done episode. But you know, what I really liked, Ryan, about the end of that episode was that I think it ended up, she got thrown in jail or something, right? Next to somebody else who had the same, you know, they basically had a zero credit score. They're just laughing and having a good time because, like, that's the people they wanted to hang out with anyways. They realized that being in that world, like, it really did nothing for them, you know, because all those people were probably so stressed out about, like we talked about, you know, the pronouns and the gender confusion. Like, people are trying to play ball with the system, and it's exhausting. And they're like, well, now we're in this jail, we can say whatever we want. They're just like yelling cuss words back at each other, right? Just because, like, we can do whatever we want. Who cares? There's no rules anymore. You know, so it was a wild, that was a really, really well done episode, I thought.
It is one of the better ones. It's kind of cringy when you're watching throughout, because it's like mostly female shit, and it's very, you know, posh, and everything's like,
yeah,
you know, they're taking pictures of delicate foods and like her fake laugh. And, you know, it's kind of like that whole thing where, you know, you want to keep, like, the government wants to keep people just poor enough, because if they take everything away, then they're like, fuck it, let's go. You know what I mean? So if they keep people, like, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, if they keep them at a 1 or a 2, they're like, well, maybe I can get to that 3 or 4 level, or 5, and then 5 or 6, and then I can climb up. They're at 0 and there's no hope of getting up. Then they're like, all right, let's burn this down. So everyone's back at 0. You know what I mean? So it is, there's so many great metaphors in that movie. I think it's called Nosedive. So
it's called Nosedive. Yeah.
Yeah. I just looked it up, Ryan. It's Nosedive.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Best one, in my opinion. That and the video game one are great.
Yeah. The video game one's really good.
Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch is interesting.
Yeah.
That's where you get to choose your destiny.
Yeah.
That one's kind of fun.
Like, but like the credit score thing, it's like, they're kind of slowly rolling these out in like different little environments and kind of seeing how it works, right? And just kind of going back to the drawing board, just like probably with like the COVID stuff too, like, right, it kind of has gone away, but are they just going back to the drawing board and figuring out a better way to run this program? Like you said, we saw with what was happening in Canada, you know. And Ryan, we had talked last year about some of the stuff that, you know, that the IRS was rolling out about, you know, like trying to find ways to give people money just directly every month into their bank account for certain, like, tax credits and things like that. And, you know, using facial recognition and all this kind of stuff. So they try, it's like they're trying all these little programs to kind of see what works. And, you know, one day is boom, are they just going to kind of have this stuff figured out? Or is it just kind of like just slow, you know, just like that whole revelation of the method, right? Just kind of slowly introduce these ideas and slowly change the marketing around them. Because what they really need to do, like, I mean, like to the untrained eye, if you go to like the World Economic Forum website, it looks great. It looks like these people are trying to help out. If you don't know anything about all the devious stuff behind the scenes, it's like, hey, there's this organization and people are trying to figure out sustainable growth and food and water and all this stuff. Like, sounds awesome. So it's like, I think for the social credit score, they need to find a way to rebrand that so that people don't necessarily catch on to what's going on. And it's a lot harder to call out, even though we really know what's going on behind the scenes, because it sounds great. They'll probably say, like, you know, if you don't like this, you're racist. They can probably do something as easy as that, but I'm sure there's other ways and means they can kind of roll that out too.
The problem is, Kyle, so many people want daddy just to support them. And they just want that safety blanket to know that daddy's going to take care of them. And they're willing to do whatever they need to do to get that support. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, I saw Jack from Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence put a post up about, you know, voting. And why do people that pay taxes get the same vote as those who don't pay taxes? That's, you know, because those who don't pay taxes that are dependent on the system are not going to vote against the system, because the system is taking care of them. So that is an automatic, you know, built in vote for them right away. And just to show how, you know, one of the many ways the system is not evenly distributed. But
that's a crazy gray area too, because taxes aren't even like a constitutional thing, but voting is, right? So it's a real gray area thing.
Yeah, but how many people don't have to pay, you know, if you have a job, you have to pay taxes, right?
Sure. I
mean, and that's right. That's the backwards part about it. Most people that don't pay taxes don't have a job. And it's like, oh, okay. And, you know, obviously then you get into seniors also, but that's a whole different category. But for the most part, those, you know, you're invested into the system, but your vote doesn't mean it is not equally distributed.
I guess I'm far more cynical than you three. I feel as though that these motherfuckers have all this shit worked out, and that they know every step that they're supposed to take. They know what data points they need to hit in order to go to the next step of the rollout. I think that, you know, throughout the SARS, the Ebola outbreaks, the encephalitis outbreak that happened in Brazil, COVID, they've collected all this data this whole time. They are well aware of how we act and what we're going to do. And they know exactly when the second that COVID ended, boom, cue the war, right? And it also coincides with the season of sacrifice, right? Which runs from the vernal equinox to May 5th. During this time is usually when they want to, you know, kill a bunch of people for whatever reason, whether it be that's when their God prefers the blood or whatever, the first fruits, right?
Well, and Lehman, and you look at the last 20 years, there have been a lot of events that happened in that time frame. You know, you look at like Boston Marathon bombing, you look at Oklahoma City, you look at Columbine. There's all of these things that fall right around in between that window that you're talking about.
Dude, COVID, yeah. COVID started March 15th here, right?
Yeah.
I think if you go back and look at the war of 1812, even as far back as, you know, even further back, you know, ever since the who knows how fucking long this shit's been going on. The fact of the matter is we find ourselves balls deep in it right now.
Right? Yep. Well, and it's, go ahead.
And I'm just like, okay, so what makes us think that, given the fact that, you know, everybody around us has, you know, either gotten jabbed or wears a jabbed and masked and walks around in sunshine in a field with a fucking mask on, what gives us any hope that we're going to push this back?
I like swimming with my mask on.
That's sweet.
Cute, right? I like making love with my mask on.
Yeah, you know,
it's a whole new genre now, man.
That used to be a fetish, and now it's like like mainstream.
They need to make the little N95s with a zipper over the mouth too, like just for the domination. And a
ball gag on the inside,
dude. That episode that Kyle was referencing that him and I did, I think it was last year. We were kind of joking around a lot in that, talking about robots and shit, you know, like obviously part of it was pretty serious because we're talking about like how the IRS is trying to tax based off your kids. Right. And shit. Like it was a pretty dark shit. But then it gets funny when you start talking about robots. It's two grown ass men talking about robots. And it gets to be like, dude, this is goofy. But then you start seeing this Elon Musk motherfucker who is talking about how bad AI is. And then he's the one building it. And there's something really deep, I think, with the whole thing of him like trying to fucking wrestle Vladimir Putin. Like, what are we talking about here?
Have you guys seen the Boston, is it Sam Adams Boston Dynamics commercial?
Oh, you want to talk about what a crossover.
You want to talk about disturbing. It's like the AI dogs and stuff, and they're at a keg party. Dude, they humanize these things and make them seem like they're the most peaceful things ever. They just want to party and have fun with you.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah, I mean,
No.
But
they've been rolling out that PSYOP since, you know, Star Wars and sci-fi back in the day. I mean, R2-D2, he saved their ass a million times. So they're like, well, if you think about it, like, well, if we didn't have these robots, we wouldn't have survived. You know, like, thank God we had them. Otherwise, we would have been dust at this point. But Lehman, to your point about, you know, this time frame, I was just looking this up. I didn't realize. So tomorrow is March 22nd. The Georgia Guidestones were erected.
3-2-2.
Yeah, 3-2-2, right. Skull and Bones Day. Right. So 1980, that's tomorrow is the anniversary of the Georgia Guidestones. So crazy, crazy.
What is that, 30 years?
That's 30? Like 40, gosh, 40, something, 42 years. Years. 42. Yeah.
So does it say when it's going, they're just supposed to open up the time capsule and release the plague onto the earth? Or whatever the fuck it is that's in there.
I don't know what I'm talking. 45 years. If I was going to guess, I would say 45 years. Like, not to.
Well, 47 is the answer to most everything. So y'all know about that.
Like, is that, that from 40, the from that movie?
47 is some magical number in the realm. And now that I mention it to you three, you'll fucking see it everywhere. 47. Okay. So, like, for example, one of the biggest moments in my life was when the plane in DC crashed into the frozen water and people died. And then it was the first time when, as a kid back in Texas, I realized that human beings could die. I was like 7 years old. And then many, many years later, I fucking live on the river, like 2 miles away from the place that the plane went in. And so I thought, well, there's probably some number magic written in there. Well, it was like, I think it was Friday the 13th, and the inversion of 47, 74 passengers died. And now that I mention it to you, you'll see 47, 74 in all kinds of fucking crazy ways, shapes, and forms.
You want to know what road I live on, Lehman?
Let's hear
47.
There we go.
Well, so 11 is also an iteration of that too, right? So I mean, 11-11 and all that shit. Okay. I'll keep an eye.
So out. I don't know how far into the woo you guys go, but the people that are pulling this bullshit on us on a daily basis, they're deep into the woo, and they want you to not be into it. So
now, hey, do you think that you see things more because now because you brought it up, now we're going to notice 47, but is that 47 always there and we just don't notice it? Or because now we're aware of it, it's going to show up more often?
The 47 is just, it's written into the fabric, almost like that guy, Professor Gates, who when he was looking at radiation noise coming back from space, he was breaking it down into mathematical equations and realized that he was getting browser error codes showing up in the noise coming from outer space, allegedly. And so it's like that. It's written into the fabric of things. And just because I brought it to your awareness, it's kind of like you buy a Toyota, red Toyota Corolla, you'll fucking see it everywhere. You know, now that you're aware of it, you will see it everywhere.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it's the former of what you said, Matt. I think that it's always there, but you just start to pick up on things, especially I think if someone tells you that you're going to notice it more, you know what I mean? You'll probably definitely notice it more. And then there's nothing wrong with that, Lehman. I just think that if someone points out like, hey, pay attention to this, you know, like that game Slug Bug, it seemed like every other damn car on the road was a Slug Bug if you're playing with somebody bigger than you. But then like, if it was someone smaller than you, there was never any damn Volkswagens around, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's just one of those things, I think, where you look for what you find what you're looking for, basically.
Yeah. Cause it's funny you said that, Lehman, though, cause with 47, cause there was a certain female podcaster that was out there that was pushing 47 for a while and claimed it was her number or whatever. And, you know, everyone then was like, oh my God, it's my number too. And, you know, show me pictures of when you see it and all this shit. And it's like, and then because they were mentioning it, I started seeing it more around here. And then I realized, oh, it's like, oh wow, it's right out the window. There you go.
I'm interested to know who this female podcaster is. That's funny. Dude, while we're just kind of sitting here, fascinating, right? The word, you know what the original meaning was? Pretty interesting here. I'll show you. So it's a evil spell, supposedly, is what fascinate meant. Fascinate comes from the Latin word evil spell, and it originally meant bewitched or spellbound.
So were you casting a spell every time you say it?
I don't know, dude. Maybe I'm a Freemason. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm engaging in some dark magic. But terrific is another one of these words. The meaning used to be excited, fear, or awe, and now it means swell. But yeah, dude, I was just reading this whole thing where, okay, so when fascinate was first defined in the English dictionary in Robert Cawdrey's 1604 A Table Alphabetical, which is the original dictionary, it was meant to bewitch or disfigure with enchantment. That's kind of crazy. And now it means like very, very captivating. So yeah, dude, it feeds into that whole word magic thing, right?
It's real.
Hey, you know, it
you may not believe in it, people, but it is real. There is power in words. There is power in symbols. There is power in numbers. Words and numbers are just symbols. So
yeah,
it's a different game they play. And if you can act like it doesn't exist, but it exists.
I think it's nuts, dude. A lot of people in this community use it, including me. I mean, sometimes I'll say it 30 times in a damn episode.
Just look at numbers and stuff in general, Ryan. Like a lot of these companies, these big companies are started on significant days, you know, whether astrologically, whether it's, you know, numerically, it's all, none of this stuff is by happenstance or coincidence, so to speak.
Of course. I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem like it. Yeah, the infamous one is Facebook. I mean, dude, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, though, with the Skull and Bones Day. That will be kind of, I'm sure, nothing now that we're thinking about it. But, you know, who knows, dude?
Yeah, a giant.
It is.
It'll be some famous celebrity sacrifice. You know, we'll lose a rapper or, you know, something like that.
You know, so today, tomorrow being 3/22/22, you add those up, you get 47. So,
really,
yeah, 3, 2, 2. It's happening. It's happening.
Oh, so if you take 22 plus 21,
that's 22 plus 20 if tomorrow, so 3/22/22.
So you
47. Add those all together.
Plus 3, yeah, 47. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
There you
all
go.
Right, for your for your prize, Kyle. You will have a serious bout of sleep paralysis tonight with a hag dick riding you like you've never been rode before.
Dude, that's a fucking synchronicity and a half, though, man. That's pretty wild. And this is going to come out that day, I'm assuming, too, Matt. So, shit.
Yep, hopefully it'll be out tomorrow on 3/22, Skull and Bones Day. That's going to be the title of this one.
Should we say that's fascinating? Because I may fucking captivate some people with evil.
Terrific.
We just bewildered the whole audience. You are now cast under Ryan's spell.
Yeah, dude, that's a good find, Kyle.
Now, what's that? What's the basis of that, Kyle? Like, when was it? Does it say when it was changed?
What's that?
Like, Ryan, those words that you were talking about, just say when it was changed.
Oh, in 1604, I just closed it out, but I can find
1604,
it again.
1604, okay. So that's...
Well, 1604 was the first, like, dictionary. It was the alphabetical.
Yeah.
I'll pull it back up here. Fascinating word history. Yeah, dude, it's... I'm sure it's just changed over time. They kind of said that it gradually changed over time. And it started off obviously one way and then slowly changed. Sorry, I can't type and talk at the same time.
Yeah, that's what they do, right? That's it's the double meaning, the as above, so below, right? The duality of everything. Everything in this plane seems to have duality to it.
Yeah, definitely, dude. Okay, so the etymology too. This is a different site. Yeah, so bewitching, charming. 1640s is when I guess that was the way that it was viewed.
1640s.
Yeah, so what was going on then? I mean, this is before the United States was a thing. 1590s, bewitch, enchant from French, fastener, from Latin, fashion. Hold on, bear with me here. Fascinatus. That's a better one, dude. I'm going to start saying
that.
There
you go.
That's fascinatus. Past part. Yeah. So bewitch, enchant, fascinate, charm, enchantment, spell, witchcraft. Yeah, dude.
It sounds slander. Like it's from the same root as fascia, which is that thing that's underneath Abraham's
bundle
hands.
Of sticks.
Yeah, which is a symbol for. I don't know, fascist
empire. Yeah, no, it's a Roman symbol.
They also have a Greek version of it. So the Latin one, and then they have a Greek one. Baskanos. Sorry. Slander, envy, malice, and then later was witchcraft, sorcery, influenced by Latin fari, which is to speak. Yeah. Yeah, Greek. So another word that it could have came from Greek is faskin, spelled with a PH.
Sounds like foreskin.
Yeah, faskin, which is to say.
The faskin.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how Anthony Fauci
says. You sound like foreskin. Ron trying to say foreskin.
There's also the German Beskatrin. Bespritchen. Dude, I'm bad at pronouncing words. Bespritchen is to charm.
We need to get you hooked on phonics, brother.
Yeah, I need something, dude. It's just an interesting thing.
You want to hear about, so as you were talking about this, I was looking up some old dictionary stuff. I found this article about words that were deleted from the dictionary that we no longer use anymore. And they're just really absurd. But this is the first one that shows up in this list. It's called Snallygaster.
Ooh, that's a good name for a vagina.
Well, yeah, especially when you hear what it is. Snallygaster. It's a reptilian beast, a German word for a reptilian beast that hunts kids and farm animals.
Ooh, boy.
So wow,
that's the Snallygasters. Is that what we should call DC, the home of the Snallygasters?
Right, right. Yeah, that's what it also says. It says it's also a good name for a politician. So very, very interesting that they bring, and this is Reader's Digest. That's crazy that that's the first thing they bring, Kyle, up, reptilian politicians.
And like you mentioned before, though, with Grandma, right? You go back pre-World War II, and newspapers were pretty legitimate. I mean, they gave the politicians a run for their money, man. They held them to stuff. There were stories published, that you would consider almost like National Enquirer-esque that they would put in there. And as I get back into like the 1800s, the newspapers just get more and more wild. I mean, the stories are all over the place. At times, you look at some of these stories, you're like, was this written by AI? Because it doesn't seem like it could be written by a real person, because it doesn't really make sense. The story is kind of all over the place. There's no point to it. It's almost like they needed something to fill that space of that newspaper.
Right. And there's no way to fact check it, right? There's no sources you can go to. There's not enough books you can read to find out that answer, or even have a forum to combat that. Right.
Well, and the problem is, Kyle, when you do find multiple sources, one of the things that I found is that there's a lot, the historians that I respect the most are the guys who say, listen, when you get into this, and I was doing some research on the Mongols, and this guy comes out and he goes, basically, there is deliberate propaganda that's written about them. He goes, the 2.5 centuries they were in charge, he goes, it is fuzzy fabrication. He goes, basically, you can't believe any of the events you were told. And it's like, okay, that's, at least I can trust what you're saying, because you're actually going against and just not spitting out the same shit that everybody else does. Because I think that's where we are. They've narrowed down your options and censored things, whether intentionally or unintentionally, over time, to the point where you're only getting a certain point of the story.
And you mentioned Jack earlier. Me and him were talking the other day, and he brought up the stat. I don't remember the exact number, but what the percentage of schools that actually even still teach history, as a prerequisite, it's like 30 or 40%. But even that, to your point, even that, what those kids are learning probably still has such a fabrication to it. So even if you're actually learning about history, you're only learning like little pieces of it. Like I was talking to my friend, he's like, yeah, my son was learning about rock and roll history in school. Like, okay. What? I mean, this kid's 12 years old. Like, what is he talking about? Like the hippie movement in the 60s and stuff. Like, I mean, okay, cool. I guess, but like, as we know, there's a big sigh behind that as well. So it's like just the history of music. I mean, I'm a music lover, just like everybody else. I mean, it's pretty cool, but all the things that you would want to learn history of, I would say probably world events, political events, religious events, anything besides, the music of the 60s and 70s or something.
I would say, just as a devil's advocate, it's probably one of the things that they throw in there to make the education fun, right? Ooh, I would hope.
True.
I would hope to God that they're not spending like a semester learning about rock and roll from the 60s. Because if that's the case, that's tragic. You know what I mean? Because they're probably, not even getting the real story about that. But hopefully that was just like a 2 or 3 day segment, dude. That's crazy.
And what they're doing, too, is they're narrowing the timeline, right? If they only teach kids stuff that happened in the 20th century, they're never going to know what happened in the 19th, 18th, in history. They may get a real quick overview in other classes, but if they're going to focus, and that's what they've done. And I noticed it with my son too, because there's a lot of stuff they don't teach anymore. And he's only in third grade, but still at this point, there's certain things that, we were indoctrinated with that they're not hitting them with now, but they're hitting them with other stuff. But one of the major things I'm noticing is they don't teach the kids cursive anymore, or how to read cursive, which is even scarier, because what are a lot of the old legal documents written on? It's all cursive, and a lot of it's written in Latin too, which screws all of us. And one of the reasons why they did it. But the fact that these kids can't read cursive or write in cursive is going to change things down the road.
Well, dude, and people are becoming really used to like Google Translate. Google Translate is so useful, but dude, if that ever goes away, All these Latin documents are lost, man. You know what I mean? And when did they change history over to social studies? When did they do that?
Right.
80s or 70s? Because I know when I was a kid.
It was social studies, yeah.
When I was a kid, yeah, it was social studies. But like I went through school in the later 90s and then the double aughts, right? I mean, that's when I graduated 2009. It was always called social studies, like in elementary school, middle school. I had a government class, but that was an elective, which I think that should be mandatory. I think that you should absolutely know how the government works. And then we had world government, which was another elective. History was ninth grade social studies, so to speak. But yeah, when did they change that? I mean, like, Matt, when did you graduate? And then Lehman, I don't know if you guys had history or social studies.
See, we had both. I graduated in the late 90s. I was 97. So
okay.
we had both. We had social studies and history. But history was more like specific things. Like when we got to junior year, it was American history. And that was a combo of the history side and our English class. Like they taught together. It was real weird. But for the most part, we had history up until senior year, and then you could do electives and stuff. But we had both.
I graduated in 94, and you fuckers got off easy. I had ethics. I had history, and I had social studies. And like, at this point, I'm like disheartened about everything they taught me in the history classes, because I don't fucking believe any of it anymore. Mm. Like, sometimes I look at Jimmy Carter and I think that motherfucker's being played by John Kennedy. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe a fucking thing they say. And so the only thing I can really go with these days is just what I experience in my day to day. You know, they've gotten me to that point where I don't want to hear what they have to say. 9 out of 10 times, if somebody tells me something about Ukraine, and I'm like, what is it doing to me right here, right now? You know?
Yeah, dude. You know, it's so weird that you say that, too. I heard this thing from a Yale study, and I caught myself really being absorbed into this whole propaganda thing and, like, the whole idea that, you know, people like us tend to not trust these massive universities like Yale, right? We call them indoctrination centers as a whole. I'm not trying to paint with too widely of a brush. But usually if a Yale study comes out saying like COVID-19 has variants, we'll be like, oh, that's fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? But this one came out and it said that liberals or Democrats tend to talk to Black people with different vocabulary and they dumb their vocabulary down, and conservatives or Republicans talk to them the exact same way as they would their white friends. And I thought that right in my head, I was like, well, yeah, of course. And I was like, I fully hopped on board with that idea, because I tend to actually think that most liberals are racist. That's just like a predisposition that I have.
Yeah, but and so when I heard aren't.
No. I think that the educated liberals are absolutely. I mean, dude, you look at these people. Yeah, I think that if you take 10 liberals, and you take 10 conservatives, I would say that the 10 liberals, you're going to find more racists in there.
Oh,
that's my.
Well, it depends, though, because I see where I am. I'm in a very interesting place, because we have very rural farmland and a farmer, a farming town, and then University of Massachusetts, and those two worlds collide. Right. And it's interesting because you're right. On the liberal side, the college side, it's they don't know how to deal with it, you know. But then on the other side, you have the same thing, though. You know, it's just from a different perspective.
I remember Malcolm X had a great quote back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you know, the person you need to be scared of is like for a Black person, you need to be scared of the white liberal, because they'll act like they're your friend. Whereas, you know, some of the conservatives, yeah, I agree, there are some. He's like, the ones that are racist, like, will be pretty straightforward to you about that. You know, there will be no delineation. So I think that's to Ryan, to your point, it's like they dumb it down. They try to act like they're trying to be nice and friendly, but it's also racist.
that was the point of that study. And it's interesting is like, you know, the whole idea of like, yeah, we need to not allow voter ID because most minorities can't get ID cards. Meanwhile, you'll talk to like Mexicans or Black people or, I mean, name a minority. Yeah, they have fucking IDs, dude. I mean, they'll look at you like you're crazy. Hey, do you have an ID? If they're like a 30, 40 year old woman, they'll be like, what? Or a 30, 40 year old man, they'll be like, yeah, of course I do. Everyone does. But that's the point is that the liberals will come at you from a very nice way and say, hey, you know, I know you need help. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, sorry about that. I had these new lights put up on my thing and they're
not,
just
not anymore.
Like yeah. They're sticky. Stick lights. I was trying to mess with my green screen. But yeah, dude, the liberals will come at you from a really sneaky way and just like try and you know, make it seem like they're trying to help you.
Words you don't want to hear. I'm here to help, right?
I guess, dude.
Not from the government, a politician, for sure. At least.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, it's scary, but
no, I'm with you though. I understand what you're saying because you see it here, even though the liberals are like they stand on the street corner out here with Black Lives Matter signs and all that. And you look at these people and you're like, how many Black people have you had over your house for dinner? And yeah, I guarantee you add up all 15 of them that are out there and you can count it on one hand at best. So,
and it's sad, dude. It's just like, yeah, I, to your point though, Matt, I think that both sides of the aisle, use the minorities in their favor, right?
Oh, without a doubt. And that's why I don't like to say, oh, it's just the liberals or, oh, it's just, cause it's on both sides. You know, it's this,
for sure.
we just divided them into two colors, you know, it's red and blue, but they have the same problems on both sides. It's just the different extremes and different areas they go at. So
yeah, do you see what I'm saying though? Where like I felt like I totally was on board with that Yale study, and then I was like, wait, that's Yale. If they were saying something that I slightly disagreed with, I'd be like, fuck Yale, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah,
no, but then again, like you said, you have to always go against yourself too and assume that I'm wrong, right? And if you go in saying, exactly, oh, well, maybe I'm wrong here, then you can kind of look at it with a clearer vision. And, you know, because a lot of times, and I said this in my last episode, a lot of times we go after something and are looking for a specific answer.
Right. And we'll keep confirmation bias. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Until, and you got to realize that at some point, hey, it is what it is. And you have to accept that and just move on, because you're going to drive yourself insane trying to just prove your point over and over, like you said, Kyle, in confirmation bias. And too many people get wrapped up in that shit, and especially in what we do.
Mm-hmm. I was like that when I really, really was heavy into, you know, supporting Trump. Like anytime a negative article would come up, I'm like, that's obviously not true. Let me go look up. Let me just go make myself feel better and read 9 articles that say that he's good and he's doing this and all these other things he's doing. But at the same time, he's like, well, maybe the simple answer is maybe he's a scumbag like all politicians. You know, why am I trying to say like all billionaires are scumbags except this one, This is the good one. Him and Elon Musk. That's another good one. Like you pick 2 or 3 of these billionaires. These are very nice people that care about everybody. But it's like you back yourself into a corner because you want to. You're never going to come to the true answer. You're just going to kind of try to, you know, dig and dig and dig until you find that one article that says, oh, okay, that wasn't true. So, okay, cool. I'm good. My thought process is confirmed, you know? So
the thinking, speaking about rabbit holes and confirmation bias, have you ever noticed that they just keep going and going and going? There's no fucking bottom. You just keep digging and digging and digging. It's fucking endless. How is that? How the fuck is that?
I think it's because it leads to a single thing that we'll just never know, right? Like the people that really control all this shit. When we say they, we don't really know who they is. And I think that is the ultimate conspiracy, is that chemtrails, 9/11, COVID, Ukraine, and name a conspiracy. It all leads back to a single source. And we'll never know what that top source is. The top of the pyramid that's disconnected, that's the turd in my logo. We'll never know what that is.
So I've been listening to you guys now, and all of you are brilliant in your own unique ways, right?
Thank you.
Why haven't y'all gotten to that answer yet? why the fuck have y'all solved this problem yet? It's not because you're not smart enough. It's not because you don't have enough gas in your tank. Because you motherfuckers are, some of you are making money off this. You're motivated. Why haven't you gotten there yet?
Because it's a rhetorical question.
You're never going to fucking get there.
Yep.
Never. So my whole deal is, it's like, whatever they're throwing is bullshit. Okay. Yeah. What are you doing with the relationships that you're in? How are the relationships 100%. In your family? You know, do your neighbors know that you give a fuck? That's where it is. And my the whole
thing, you can physically touch, right, Lehman's?
Yes. Yes. And like, it's the best things in life are free. Some of these truth sayings that run through the end of time, right? So they want you constantly looking in the rabbit holes so that you are not digging into yourselves, so that you don't go into the darkness that makes up you, to work on your shadow, to see the light that lives inside of you, and to have that experience where you become what you're supposed to be, whatever that is in your definition and your understanding of your create, right? They want you looking outside yourself 24/7. So I asked the three of you, what have you done today to fill your spirit with more light, right?
I was outside playing with my kids. Playing with Play-Doh.
There we go. There we go.
Dude, it was great. And like, I put my phone away. Just like, we're just out there making weird shapes and spaghetti things with Play-Doh, right? And to them, that was the world. That was their entire life. You know, they really wanted to do that. Just go make a mess, make some stupid little silly things with that, and then go to bed. You know,
so Kyle, your child was in the generous present moment. All your child knew was that moment with you. That's all that truly is. That's all that fucking matters. And now I'm not trying to get in the way of anybody's bag, okay? Because everybody's got to put food on the table. But knowing that, you know, like, it kind of behooves you to keep the rabbit holes going, kind of deal, right?
Well, yeah, I think we exposed the why conspiracies are a perfect business plan, because you just can never get to the end. If someone solved everything, then the shows are gone. You know what I mean?
Damn right.
It's a never-ending story.
Yeah, dude, it's a never-ending story. Exactly. And dude, I mean, to your point, I actually do feel fulfillment from this. Now, I don't know if like the anxiety that I've been feeling lately, which Matt, I've talked with you about, like we've both kind of felt like weird. And everyone that I fucking talk to, dude, will randomly get like anxiety attacks. And I used to get them as a kid, panic attacks and shit. Haven't had them in years, dude, like a decade or more. And now I'm starting to get them all of a sudden, and they're brutal, dude. Like, they're bad. Like, I got to go outside. My heart starts racing. I get lightheaded. And then I go outside and I'm like good right away. You know what I mean? Maybe I do need to connect with nature a little more, but I actually do get like a little bit of an adrenaline rush when I'm finding something new that I'm like, gaining new knowledge to me is fucking incredible. You know what I mean? Cause I was such a dumb kid in high school.
100. You're getting that dopamine drip. You might as well be shooting heroin in the blue vein underneath your balls. It feels so good.
Yeah, dude, it does. And like, I was a dumb kid in school, man, a C&D student. I still have like, you know, nightmares where I didn't pass math and I didn't get to walk for graduation. I had to literally clean my teacher's fucking office to get a D, a 69%, right? So it was pretty shitty just to be able to get like at the barely be able to walk, and I still have nightmares about it because I was fucking dumb, dude, because I didn't give a fuck about that. And like, when I can share information that some people don't know about, it's a cool feeling. Maybe it's an ego thing. I'm sure it is, honestly. But I mean, dude, it's fucking fun, man. I like it.
And I think if you can balance, right? I think it's all about balance too. You know, like just like with anything you overindulge in, even if you love it, can cause issues, right? Whether it's food or exercise or drugs, what have you. I think as long as you're able to try to keep somewhat of a balance in life between things. I think things work out good, but it's hard. I mean, it's a hard balance. Like, you know, we all have our own, you know, jobs during the day. Then we like to do some of the stuff at night. We have other stuff. So it's, but yeah, to your point, Ryan, some of it, you know, researching and digging in and recording stuff, it can be, you know, stressful and stuff sometimes. So there's certain things that I've chosen like not to go down, like with this whole Russia Ukraine thing, I've just physically told myself I'm not really going to dig into it at all, just because like we've been saying, we just came out of this COVID psyop and I'm already over this thing over the past 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, there's just, I can't tell heads or tails of what is really true. So this is one that I'm kind of just putting on the shelf for a little while and kind of trying to focus on other things, just because I know for me personally, when I get over, when I put my energy directly into something like that, it can cause issues and more stress and anxiety. So I'm like, you know, this specific one, I'm going to try to sit it out, see if that helps me mentally, if I focus on some other things, right? Like, you know, exercising, my family and spirituality and stuff, and see if that changes things, kind of just like a little experiment to see how that changes my life, if anything.
So Ryan, how old is your podcast? How long have you been going for?
2 years.
Matt, how long have you been going for?
Like 8 months.
Okay. Kyle?
About 2 years. You know, all us millennials started in 2020.
Yeah. So I've kind of in my mind branded you guys as the latest iteration of the podcast, conspiracy podcasters, right? And I remember in 2010, there was a certain group that was going strong, and then they got faded out for various reasons. And then the mid 2010, 14, 15, 17, there was another group, but then they got their legs chopped off. And now it's y'all's turn to come up with it, right? And like literally none of those guys found any kind of lasting satisfaction. And so what I hope that you guys do is, like Ryan's doing, secure the bag, make a little cheddar, help yourself long-term with using that money for some good, right? But know that they'll be coming for you, and, you know, your time is limited.
Well, yeah, and that's why that's why I respect the guys like Darren and you know, at Grimerica, right? Graham and Darren, they've been doing it for almost a decade now, and they just, I mean, you can listen to their catalog for days and not get bored.
Right.
And today everything's still fresh. And they have a great perspective. And yeah, like you said, Lehman, though, a lot of people get burnt out from this. You know, it's heavy sometimes. Like Kyle said, you get into some of this research and
there's some dark shit.
Yeah. Even if it's interesting to you, right? I've been doing some, you know, Ryan, when we did the mind control stuff, right? And I know you did a huge deep dive. It's disturbing shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can't be great for your psyche to be looking at this dark shit all the time. You know?
So maybe like have like a mixture of, you know, kind of pace yourself pretty good through like some of the, you know, like the weird phenomenon stuff, and then mix in some of the spirit cooking, like, you know, kind of mix it around. Don't go hard in the paint into the caves underneath LA every episode for your own longevity.
Yeah, dude, you know, to your point, and then, you know, I'll give my last thought here. There are some people, I think, that it's not their actual personality. It's not a true passion to look into these things. And then once they get roped in and they start having some success, it gets to be a little bit of an obligation. It turns into a job. And then people that preach spirituality just don't follow through with those things when you talk to them, like, you know, privately, and things kind of, you know, stem from that. We'll just say, I don't want to mention names, but there's people out there that don't practice what they preach, dude. And I think that, you know, acting fake on the internet can probably be pretty fucking exhausting, dude. That's why I kind of hype up that I am a real big piece of shit. I think that it's good. It's like saying that it's like saying to a lady that you have a really small wiener. You know what I mean? Because if you say, hey, you know, it's small, but, you know, I know how to use it. And they're expecting like a 2-3 incher, and then you pull out a nice 6. And then they're like, oh, okay. I was expecting nothing. And then they're like, I can work with this. You know what I mean? It's something like
it's
that.
It's 5 inches, but it's thick.
Yeah. It's a tuna can. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, that's why I say, Ryan, I'm like, I can be an asshole. It just depends on how you are.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. And I think that's how everyone is. And that's why I get so turned off when people are overly positive on things.
Yeah.
And I've experienced it. So, you know, we'll leave it there.
Oh, it happens, man. I mean, and there's a lot of people out there doing that for the likes, right? The follows, the all the hype that comes with it. And that's another thing you get into. I think some of these people get into these shows and it gets too big, and, you know, it's all fun and games in the beginning. Then you get to like 20 episodes and you're like, shit, man, I've been doing this for a while. Now it's work. Now I gotta dedicate myself to it, because these people now are expecting it, and then they just can't deliver anymore.
Yeah. And Lehman, you made a good point earlier about, you know, like the long term, like what's the benefit? What's the long lasting, like, you buzz from that kind of thing. So like, I heard a great quotes from like, a singer I knew, like, he was real popular like in the 90s, and he's like, you know, I was backstage before we were about to do our show. Like, we just released one of our best albums ever. And he's like, we had all wanted to get up to this moment, to do this tour, this sold out stadium. We just kind of had, like, this is like the point, like, we made it. So he's like, I felt like I was going to get this rush from it. So we went out, did the show, and it was over. And he's like, I didn't get it. Why didn't I get it? It's because that it's not like a tangible thing that you can attain. It becomes like an obsession, right? It becomes like an addiction for more and more and more. You can't just say, okay, I made it here. Okay, we're done. You know, yeah. It's something that it was a very short-lived adrenaline buzz that faded off. Whereas there are other, his whole point was that there are other things, you know, that are longer, that provide you more longer lasting satisfaction than some of that fame and fortune.
And let me go on Wax's saying, I see the future and it is fucking bleak. All right. I see families being torn apart. I see people having to make real decisions about whether or not they're going to take something into their body against their will, knowing that it potentially has an internal effect. And I see people having their nuts smashed with boots, and that would be the best day you could have in the situation that we're coming to. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm all meditation and fucking unicorn farts and anything like that. No, I'm preparing for the mental battle that's to come, and I hope you got something to fall back on, because it's coming, brother. They're not going to fucking stop. They haven't stopped this whole time. They're not stopping.
I got guns, and then I'm looking more towards God every day, dude. So that's my thing.
Yeah, the guns ain't gonna do shit.
Hey, worst case scenario, you get yourself out of the situation. You know what I mean?
I've personally worked on a system that can take out the majority of your city, much less your little hovel with the guns. I mean, they can kill you. Like, if they wanted us dead right at this moment, they could kill us. This machine could be so efficient if they wanted to unleash it. You're fooling yourself if you think that your fucking years worth of rations are going to do jack shit. If they want you, they're going to stomp your fucking ass out.
Well, yeah, that's why, like, you got to be some sort of on some sort of level with, like, whatever you think created you. If you're an atheist, I think that's the saddest thing of all, because, you know, there's nothing coming after this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Dude, I'm not afraid to die, dude. That's the whole thing. You can't be afraid to die. If that's a fear, then you're fucked already, because you're going to fucking die. It may be painful. you know, some cultures love the painful deaths, you know what I mean? Or the virtuous deaths, right? If you're fighting and you die, hey, I'd be down to go out like that. I don't want to. I'd rather go in my sleep. But hey, if it happens like that, fuck it.
Good deal.
You'd rather die on your shield than die on your knees, right?
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's what they
fuck
say.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
And you think about that too, like long term, like, man, I don't want to be one of those people that's curled up in a bed with a bunch of tubes on me. You know, that's not living, you know, you're just existing. And that's, you know, one of the things that always bothered me about the way some people's lives end, because I can't think of more of a torturous way to go out than to be confined to a chair and, you know, just useless.
It's sad. Yeah. It's not natural, dude.
Yeah. It's no, thank you. Mm-hmm. With that, I think that's a good place to wrap. We have killed everything. No, but guys, again, this was a blast. Thank you for joining. Let's go around, plug our stuff real quick. Kyle, we'll start with you.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at conspiracy_Kyle, and it's conspiracy with a K. And you can check out my page. Wrote a book a little bit ago, just wrote the audiobook. It's out now, so go check it out.
And the book is excellent, my friend. Well, I enjoyed
you.
It.
Thank you. Thank you.
Definitely enjoyed it. Lehman.
I got nothing to sell other than dreams and train smoke. So nice. I'll leave it at that.
I like that.
Ryan, Dangerous World Products.
Yeah, and I am not making much money, Lehman, at all. I live in a tiny little home. So, you know, I need to get a larger bag to that point. But, you know, something that Kyle was saying, just as a really important thing, it is, I think, once you reach the ultimate goal of whatever you're going for, it's similar to beating a video game, right? You're done with the video game at that point. And then it's not as fun. Level one, when you're reaching, when you're striving to try and get something, those are the funnest parts of that goal. So, like Kyle, I'm sure it's very rewarding to have released a book, but it's probably cooler writing the book, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I hate the promote, like the promotion. Like I feel like such an asshole doing it. You know what I mean? Like, cause I don't have like a lot of people that write books, like they have companies and stuff that do that kind of stuff. It's like, so it's like, I kind of, it's a weird thing. It's like, I want to talk about, but I don't want to just constantly every 5 seconds be pushing it. But you know, it's kind of a part of it. You know, I'm proud that it's out there and it's done, but it's like, yeah, this isn't the fun, right? This is not the fun part. Like do an infomercial, like making an infomercial. Hey, read this, check out this review. You know, I don't like that stuff.
Well, it'll be fun again when you write like a second book though. You know what I mean? You'll get to go through that same process again. So it's like, it's just that ever evolving thing. And that's why I think some people get bitter with like where they're at, even though they have a lot of success. So yeah, dude, that's all that I got to say. You can find me where you want to find me. All my shit will be in the show notes. I don't want to plug, but Matt, what about you, dude?
Same at Dangerous World.
Hey, look at that psychological operation.
No, you can find all my stuff at the Great Deception Podcast. Check out the show notes. You can find it in there and go check out Kyle's book. I will put a link in the show notes. It is The Intergalactic Totalitarianism. There you go. Say that one 10 times fast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much once again. Stay strong and question everything.